This is the Golf Arizona Show with hosts Mike Boyd and PGA professional Rick Price.
The Golf Arizona Show is brought to you by the Views Golf Club and Dr. Gary Mendez, D.C.
Here are your hosts, Mike Boyd and Rick Price.
Good morning and welcome to the Golf Arizona Show. Mike Boyd along with PGA professional Rick Price. And today we can all exhale. Golf is in a good place. Tiger Woods returned to action in the Farmers Insurance Open at what is basically his home course, Torrey Pines in San Diego, and he made the cut at minus four. Tiger has won eight times there, won a U.S. Open. And Rick, to most modern golf fans, the season does not begin until Tiger smacks one off number one at Torrey Pines.
Well, what's amazing is the season started when October.
Right.
And now it's already into January, and he's just playing now. So I know it's his home course, but he's not too fond of number one lately.
No. In fact, this week and five or six tournaments in the past, he's doubled it. But few of those times he's gone on to win. It almost seemed like he missed that 18-inch putt yesterday on purpose. So, you know, he has that.
Maybe gives him a little extra motivation.
Exactly.
He four-putted. I mean, I don't think he's ever four-putted.
No, that was really weird to watch. It was something that that you and I look at each other and go, I don't even know if we do that more than once a month. But Rick, you've got a little bit coming up maybe later on in the show. You've got a lot coming up in terms of, that's right, let's talk about that real quick. You spent the week at the big trade show in Orlando.
Yeah, if we got time, we'll kind of go over a few items there. But the big thing I want to remind everyone about is Golf Arizona Magazine is now out. It's available digitally online and through our email blast. And also the hardcover is being delivered right now to all the different golf courses in about 500 different locations here in town. So look for that and pick it up. It's free. So also, you know, if you don't get our emails, you can sign up at the website at gogolfarizona.com, and we send out a couple emails every month updating on some different things and happenings in town and in different articles. So check that out. But, yeah, the rule and tip of the day, if we got time, we've got a really busy and exciting show for you. The tip, we're going to talk a little bit about the grip and grip pressure. And the rule, we're going to talk about the definition of what general penalty means.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Ryan Palmer yesterday shot a 62 at Torrey Pines, and that is playing basically out of your mind because the course is very, very difficult. Last year, Torrey Pines, both the north and the south courses, were deemed the toughest driving courses on tour. What that means is more guys missed the fairway at those two courses more than at any course on tour. And this year, they did some modifications to get it ready for next summer's U.S. Open. They're making it possible to add some yardage to holes so they can play the course at nearly 7,800 yards. And, Rick, that's long.
And that's only because the equipment ball's so much better, or, you know, they're just allowed to hit it farther. So it's unfortunate that they have to change golf courses to keep up with the equipment in the golf ball.
But the thing about that course is you don't, it's at elevation. The air is often heavy. So 7,800 might play like 7,800 for those guys.
Well, there's no doubt. And talking about Ryan's round, I didn't get to see any of the highlights because I was traveling yesterday, but, didn't he bogey the last hole to shoot?
He did. Someone asked him, you know, was 60 or 59 in your mind? And he said it wasn't. But often when you bogey the last hole on a hole that most people are expecting to birdie.
He was playing the south course, I believe, right?
Right, correct.
So what's the par on the
72.
No, the last hole is a par four.
Oh, I think it's a par five.
It's the one over the water.
I think it's a par five. So, yeah, he bogeyed it, and it's one of those things he probably – looks back now and wishes he hadn't. As we said, you went to the show, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And just a heads up, we'll be giving away tickets to the Phoenix Open later in the show. Our number to call is 719-1490. And besides Tiger and Ryan Palmer and everything else that's going on, the U of A men's golf team is back in action Monday. They're hosting the Arizona Intercollegiate at Tucson National. The Cats are ranked as high as number 11 in various polls, and it's a it's an exciting time for the Cats because they haven't had that status in the past few years. And I know it kind of brings back those days when you were owning when you were on the Wildcat golf team.
Yeah, you know, as a coach, you know, with Jim Anderson, he's been, I can't remember how many years he's been there, but it takes a while to build a team, and there's, you know, recruiting so important, so it's probably been a little longer than he was hoping, but, you know, they're ranked nationally up there pretty highly and got a great team, so he's doing a great job, him and his staff.
No, and they've got two local guys, Trevor Werblow from South Point and Briggs Deuce from Buena High School in Sierra Vista. And I think it's a great thing to notice that we have two local guys who are so important for that program.
Yeah, it's not too likely that locals get scholarships, believe it or not, or recruited to big Division I schools because they're always looking for those national players that have a lot of experience. So it's great to see that a coach will put a little extra effort to get the local kid or kids an opportunity to play.
Now, when you went to the U of A, you were recruited out of Prescott College, that's correct?
Yeah, I grew up in Lake Havasu. My last year was to Prescott High, and then I went on to Yavapai College and played 2 years there. Was played well enough, was junior college All-American, got recruited by Rick LaRose to play at U of A. And going from high school, you know, to junior college, then to the U of A was like, it was a big, big change from a small town.
The Cats have always had a solid program. I know that their only national championship win was, I believe, was it 92? That was Jim Furyk's team. And that was and also he was a first-team All-American. And we talked about Jim Furyk last week being a U of A player and number three on the all-time money list, and he is eligible this year for the senior tour. It almost won't be fair when he plays.
Well, it's kind of like when Ernie came out, there was a lot of hype of Ernie, and they're wondering, you know, sometimes the hype doesn't always live up to the reality of things. But he almost won his very first week out, and I bet you can expect that from Jim as well when he starts playing.
You know, recruiting's always a kind of a tricky thing. I know that there are some players who feel they're overlooked, and they have, they don't have the same options that kind of a star player does. We'll be talking later to a local golfer who went to a small college, was able to parlay that into a Division I scholarship here in Arizona, and it just shows what you can do if you believe in yourself and hang in there.
Yeah, there was a lot of opportunities, not only for young men, but women as well. There is so many different variety of schools and levels and scholarships available. You just can't always be set on, hey, I'm going out of high school and playing Division I like myself. I probably would have never played college golf or moved on if I wouldn't have started at that junior college level, which gave me time to develop and become a better player.
Well, I've been out to watch the Cats a few times, and in fact, they played in the fall out at Tucson National. Great players. They're only, as we can tell by Matthew Wolf and Colin Morikawa, they're only about 6 months away from possibly being on the PGA Tour. And as we mentioned, the Cats are hot this year. They're as high as 11 in a number of polls. They're coached by Jim Anderson, as we said. And Jim joins us now with a preview of the big tournament and also details a clinic he's putting on. Jim, welcome.
Good morning, Mike. How are you, Rick? Good to talk with you guys this morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Now, I hope the team's been practicing over the break. There's a lot coming up, coming at them early in the year.
Yeah, they sure have. We had several guys playing some competitions over the off season and did quite well. And I was really impressed with our team's qualifying last week. We do some things to prepare and get the course ready. And we shot some great scores as a group. So now it's time to do what we've been doing in practice and competition, and that's going to be the challenge for us this week.
We've been talking a little bit about recruiting. Tell us a little bit about your recruiting schedule and what you got coming up for the fall.
Sure. Well, we're very fortunate because we have the opportunity to recruit a very broad base, and we start with Arizona. We feel great about the players we have on our team from Arizona, some of which I think you guys have spoke about in the past, but Trevor Werblow's led our team for the last couple of years, and Briggs Deuce has really found his stride, Sierra Vista for Briggs and Tucson for Trevor. So those two guys have really picked it up and played really well. But, you know, we draw a lot of attention across the country, and California's been a great spot for us. Two of our seniors who haven't been mentioned yet, David Laskin and Brad Reeves, are from Northern California. The Sacramento area has been a great spot. We signed a player who's in the top 50. He won the first tee open at Pebble Beach where the Champions Tour was played, Sam Sommerhauser. So he'll be one of our keynote recruits coming in next year. So, obviously we're excited about the future, but as it goes with the spring, our focus right now is on this team because we think we have a great team, and we're positioned well to play our home tournament well and continue moving up.
That's what I was going to ask about the home tournament aspect. Tucson National, right in your friendly confines here in Tucson, and it's a course that I'm sure most of the players are very familiar with. Does it almost give you a home field advantage?
Oh, it sure does. And actually, the Arizona Intercollegiate, we'd love for all your listeners and anyone in the Tucson area, the admission's free. The tournament this week is at our home course, Sewilo. And so we've got 13 teams in addition to the Wildcats.
Oh, okay.
Coming in. Baylor's ranked they're ranked 13, Washington 17. So we've got a great field, good competition. And college golf, there's so much parity. And a lot of times, even if the team isn't ranked as high, they've got one or two players who are just as good as some of the best players on every team. You know, so it's great spectating, and Sewilo certainly sets up very well for our team because we play there on a very regular basis. We feel great about the strategy. I think the more times you play out there, the greater appreciation you have for the different angles. Nota Begay is an incredibly intelligent golfer, and when you first play it, you don't necessarily appreciate all the nuances, but the more and more, especially setting up the golf course, it's so much fun because there's a lot of strategy involved with scoring well, and I think we've figured out how to score because we've won our home tournament the last 2 years, and the goal now is to do that again once again in 2020.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of little creeks that you can't see from where you're hitting. And it's the first time I played it, I didn't know about a lot of them, and I felt that was to my advantage. It didn't make me quite as fearful. I know that at Sewilo, you're taking advantage of the opportunity as well to put on some clinics out there?
Yeah, we sure are. And we've teamed up with the First Tee of Tucson. The Passayaki Tribe has also been involved. And so we're really excited to host this free clinic. And the idea is, let's get, the junior golfers that have signed up, let's get them out there. Our team will play 9 holes at 8:30 tomorrow morning, and then they'll come off at 10:30. And then about at 11 o'clock, we're going to spend an hour hitting balls and putting with everyone. And then the second hour, we're going to invite the junior golfers and the clinic goers and the parents too, to kind of just take in a little bit of college golf. The teams that we have coming in will be in the middle of their practice round. So we'll showcase a few different spectating spots. We've got some fun food options for them too, that we're going to include with the clinic. So I'm really hoping that it's been very well received. We had it sold out in 4 or 5 hours, I believe. And I know there's a lot of excitement with the junior clinic, and I think just trying to bridge the gap for the young players is the goal, and obviously draw a little bit of attention to the Arizona Intercollegiate at Sewilo, and putting those two things together, it should make for a great day. I think we've got some great weather, as Tucson always delivers that way this time of year too.
Now, Jim, talking about hosting events, how many events do you actually put on in the fall and the spring, and then also how many events do you travel to throughout the year?
We're unique at the U of A because we host two tournaments, and most teams, if they host any tournaments, it's one. There's a couple teams that do more than one, and a very select number do more than two. But we're fortunate that we can draw a lot of attention and attraction, and quite frankly, teams from the north are flying to the desert this weekend to practice. So they're looking for places to schedule tournaments as well. So we host the two in the spring. It's the Arizona Intercollegiate is this weekend at Sewilo, Monday, Tuesday at Sewilo, starting at 8 a.m. shotgun each day. And then on March 16th and 17th, we'll host the NIT at Omni Tucson National. In the fall, we travel. So we play 4 tournaments. We played one in Phoenix, one in California, And also took our team to Oregon to see the Pacific Northwest, where Pac-12 is. So, you know, for us, we try to get our team out, exposed to different elements. We went to Albuquerque for the Tucker as well, Rick. I know you played that tournament. And but this spring we'll play 5 events, host 2, and then the postseason will be here.
Jim, real quick, why don't you go through some of the teams that may be attending the event, and if you finish ahead of them, will it give you an opportunity to move up in the national rankings?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mentioned Baylor and Washington were a couple that have had good falls. And, you know, I think the thing that's a little bit challenging for us with, well, number one, the rankings, is the metrics are very unknown, and it's probably similar to RPI and KenPom and all the things that we all know as you know, this time of year with basketball. So, you know, the goal is to obviously play your best, and a lot of times how much you win or lose by, it's called stroke differential in golf, in college golf, rather, that kind of dictates how much movement there is in the ranking. And being that we're 11th in Golfstat, which is the top-ranked team, I think the formula very simply would say, okay, you're going to need to beat, you know, Baylor by 5 shots and Washington by 8 and Washington State by 20 or whatever the numbers are, you know. So, but, you know, it's really hard to predict what kind of movement will happen in the ranking. So we just try to focus on what we have control over, which is putting our best 5 players out, you know, getting a good game plan, one shot at a time, and shooting the best score we can. So, you know, that's kind of our strategy and motto, especially this time of year, because it quite frankly, other than the nice number that we get to say what our ranking is, our job is to play our best golf in April and May. So that's kind of that side of it. And then as far as the visiting teams, you know, New Mexico is coming in with a very good team that won their tournament. So it'd be a situation where we can kind of repay the favor and win at home with a team like that coming in. We've got some other teams, Long Beach State coming in, and they've got a young team that's been playing very well in the top 50 as well. Mississippi State from the SEC, Iowa State, been down to our tournaments year after year and has won a couple times. So, you know, we're very excited about the field that we're able to attract, and we know it gives us a great opportunity with the home course advantage.
All right, Jim. Well, thank you very much, and good luck. And we'll all be watching, and we'll report on it next week.
Hey, thank you guys so much. And anyone who wants to join out and spectate, just take it in. It's free both days, 8 a.m. shotgun. We'll be wrapping up at 6 o'clock on Monday, so it's an all-day affair there, and probably about 1 o'clock on Tuesday at Sewilo. So thanks, guys, and bear down.
All right,
Jim.
See ya.
Thank you.
Well, there is more than one way to get to play elite college golf. Our next guest has climbed the ladder from Division III college golf to a big-time D1 program. Former Catalina Foothills star Reese Nielsen up next to tell us about it. You're listening to the Golf Arizona Show on ESPN Tucson.
Now, more of the Golf Arizona Show, brought to you by the Views Golf Club, with host Mike Boyd and PGA professional Rick Price.
And welcome back to the Golf Arizona Show. Mike Boyd, along with PGA professional Rick Price. And not every Division I college golfer was a heavily recruited high school star or top-ranked junior golfer. Some took offers from smaller schools with the possibility that if they tore it up in a lower division, it could lead to bigger and better things. One of those guys is former Foothills golfer Reese Nielsen, who finally gets to tee it up for Grand Canyon. And Reese, welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hey, Reese, tell us a little bit about how things went from Foothills to Rocky Mountain College to Grand Canyon.
Well, so when I was in high school, I wasn't really getting recruited by really any Division I schools. And so I was getting recruited by a lot of like Division II schools and then some NAIA schools and some junior colleges. And I mean, my scores, I felt like my scores were good enough, but I started playing good kind of too late, where a lot of Division I schools kind of were already, they wrapped up their recruiting classes. So I found a great fit at up in Montana at Rocky Mountain College. I mean, the coach was great. The schedule was good for what I was looking for. And it just seemed like a perfect fit. And I knew that if I went up there and played up to the capability that I knew I could play at, I thought that I could go and after 2 years there, I could go and try to take my game to the next level and play at a Division I school, which is the route that I took. So everything kind of worked out the way I planned it.
Hey, Reese, good morning. This is Rick. Hey, you make a good point about, you know, typically a lot of the Division I coaches are looking at scores, you know, your sophomore and junior year. So if you're not, like, peak until your senior year, a lot of times they've already committed scholarships out and there's nothing available. So a lot of players should actually do what you've done in regards to the process of starting at a different level to move their way up. But obviously that comes with a lot of different challenges. But I got a question for you. I'm really interested how your coach handled the fact that you wanted to transfer.
To be completely honest, it was kind of a tough situation because I was the first player from my previous school to ever transfer to a Division I school, because we weren't like a known, like we were very successful in my 2 years that I was there, but historically we're not a program that's had a whole lot of success. So my coach, it wasn't used to having bringing in really good players that had intentions of leaving. Every player that he's brought in has been a four-year player. So for me, it was kind of a shaky relationship with him just because of the fact that he knew that I was going to, that I kind of wanted to leave. But at the same time, I mean, like, don't, like, get me wrong. He's the best coach. Aaron Poley at Rocky Mountain College is the best coach I ever had. And he wants what's best for his players. And he knows that I could go to this level and succeed. So he was definitely open to me talking to schools while I was still there. And we had a great connection. And I went into his office every day and talked about, like, you know, the possibilities of me going to other schools. And it just so happened that GCU contacted me this summer and that, you know, an opportunity presented itself and I didn't think I could pass it up.
Yeah, Reese, let me ask you, you weren't able to play right away, which is common when an athlete transfers from school to school. What was it like sitting out and watching your teammates beat the ball around and you can't join them?
It was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done because, I mean, I've been a student athlete. I've been an athlete my whole life, whether it was from baseball until I was 14, 15 to golf till now. And, I mean, I've played in every match, every tournament in college, and in high school, I didn't miss hardly any matches. So for me, it was really hard to see that I couldn't travel with the team, especially with how I played in qualifiers, because we were playing for two spots in qualifiers and I took the second spot. So if I was eligible, I would have played. And I think I would have really helped our team out because we had one bad finish in the spring, in the fall that really hurt our ranking. But I know that we're going to be a lot better team in the spring than we were in the fall, and I think that we're going to do a lot of good things this semester and take this program to places that the team's never been to before, which is regional. So I'm excited to help this team out.
Now, Reese, when's your first event you're going to be playing in?
February 10th. We're playing in UC Irvine's event that's in Irvine, California.
I got a real good question for you here. In the fall, when you're sitting around just watching TV and not going to class, did you actually double up a little bit in a sense of taking more classes knowing that you weren't going to be playing, or did you kind of keep your same schedule in regards to units that you were taking?
Well, at my old school, since I lost credits, at my old school I was taking 12 credits a semester, and I lost some credits when I transferred over. So I knew, I met with my coach and my counselor and everything, and I have to take 16 credits every semester to graduate on time at my school, which is a lot heavier workload than I was taking before.
It is.
And that's something that I knew going in. So I knew that I had to obviously become a better golfer to play here, but also at the same time become a better student, start taking things a lot more seriously off the golf course and in the classroom, which is what I needed. Because there were times where, you know, I was not doing the right things and not taking school as seriously as I should have at my old school, which, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I made those mistakes and I learned from them and I'm not going to make those same mistakes again.
Well, Reese, one of the fun things about playing in a top-notch D1 program is the courses you play and the travel. You're off to Hawaii mm-hmm. this spring, right?
Yep, we go there in about a month from now.
That's neat.
And yeah, that's probably our biggest event of the semester. I know you guys just had Jim on. They play in that tournament. ASU's there too. It's a really good event. And we took 10th last year, I think, but we were like 5 or 6 shots from coming top 6. So I think we can do a lot of good things this semester if we just keep getting better in small areas, each and every person in our traveling team. If they just get better in certain areas, I think we can do things that a lot of people aren't expecting us to do.
All right, Reese. Well, thank you very much for sharing your long journey to D1 golf. It's one that I'm sure will be inspirational to a lot of local players who maybe mature a little late, don't really reach their peak until they're a senior. And you've shown one of the options available to someone in that situation. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, good luck to you this season.
All right, coming up, we'll have more of the Golf Arizona Show right after this.
Now, more of the Golf Arizona Show, brought to you by the Views Golf Club, with hosts Mike Boyd and PGA professional Rick Price.
Welcome back to the Golf Arizona Show. Mike Boyd, along with PGA professional Rick Price, on 1490 AM, 104.9 FM. And just a reminder, later on in the show, we'll be giving away tickets to the Phoenix Open. We'll be giving 4 tickets away to a lucky caller who knows Jack Nicklaus's birthday. How old he turned on his birthday? I've got to give it away because we haven't mentioned it yet. He turns 80 this week. So you're gonna be asked that by either me or the call screen or somebody. And if you get that right, you'll get 4 tickets to the Phoenix Open. Well, Tucson has its fair share of well-known business people who could fit in golf to their busy schedule to try to, as well as trying to run a company. Today, the first installment of either me or Rick playing with a well-known Tucson business leader, and we get to learn about how their passion for golf works hand-in-hand with them and their business. Earlier this week, I played a round of golf with Chris Edwards, the guy made famous by his funny ads promoting his company, Tucson Appliance, and here's how it went. So we're here at Tucson Country Club. Chris Edwards and I just played, and it's time to put him on the hot seat. First, Chris, thanks for agreeing to do this. Appreciate you being here.
Oh, yeah, definitely look forward to it. And what a great round we had, especially the ending.
No, it was fun. You know, it went down to the end, and we were both about the same handicap. Of course, it fell within 2 shots, and me being the visitor, I was polite and let you win.
What a nice guy. It sounds like business golf to me.
Yeah. Well, it's the first of many such outings I hope to have with successful people who just happen to play golf. Chris, as most of the listeners know, is the boss at Tucson Appliance, but it's really more than just an appliance store. Chris, tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, what we do is we sell a little bit of new appliances. We have scratch and dent. We have reconditioned. We have the high-end appliances like Thermador. We also have a furniture store and a service company. But the thing that I'm most proud about a lot of the times is we get a lot of reconditioned appliances in, and we can donate them to churches and schools and families in need.
Well, that's great. Chris, now your dad started everything. What made you want to follow in his footsteps?
Well, it was my dream as a kid. You always want to be like your dad, and I want to be like my dad. And I got my dream come true. I got to work with him for 15 years. He taught me everything I know, and now I get the opportunity to teach my son, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, are you a natural born seller? I mean, do you basically have to love what you do?
Yes, you have to love what you do. You have to believe in what you do, and I do. I tell everybody my opinion straight up, and it's easier to sell that way. And sell them what they want is the most important. The best part about my business is appliances are a necessity. People need them. I just hope they shop with me.
Well, you've obviously been doing it for a while. How long has the business been going?
Right now, it's been going 27 years as of today, as a matter of fact. My dad and I, he started the service company in 1993, and he went and recruited me to help him in the service company. And together with his know-how and his financing and knowing people, knowing someone that knows someone, we built Tucson Appliance to what it is today.
Well, I've had the pleasure to speak to some of your employees, and they say it's a great place to work. other than getting bribed, why would a coworker say that about you?
Because it is a great and it's a fun place to work. There's so many opportunities there. And again, appliances are a necessity. People come in to shop, and I think they like us.
And what about golf? When did you start playing?
I started playing probably about when I was 33, right around almost 20 years now, 19 years. And I was a tennis player. And once I had my children, I didn't have as much time to play tennis, and I was more into the business. And I figured that in golf, you do a lot of business on the golf course with 4 hours with clients and talking and getting to know them. And I enjoy it. I got the bug.
Well, you know, the golfer of today was a multi-sport athlete. Do you think being a tennis player helped you learn the game quicker?
It did. It really did. It's the hand-eye coordination that I have. Even though I play righty in golf and tennis, I'm a lefty. It's a little bit different, but it's definitely an athletic sport. People, when I used to watch it on TV, I used to think, wow, they're just getting that little ball in the hole. That's easy. I try to play tennis, and boy, was I wrong.
Well, after playing with you today, I can tell you take it pretty seriously, especially your short game. I know there are a lot of people who say that you spend a lot of time here working on your short game. Is that something you think is a benefit for you?
Well, definitely they call me short and straight. That's pretty important. I use my 3-wood a lot, but when it's up to a putt and going in, as you saw on hole 14 when I made that par, it's all about the putting.
Now, we were talking about golf and business. Is golf and business, you said they're related, and, you know, it's a passion you have outside of work. Have you had any memorable golf experiences?
Actually, I've had several memorable golf experiences. One was when my dad finally, after I think 5 or 6 years, let me play with him. Before, he wouldn't let me play with him. I was so bad. It was horrible. But playing in these pro-ams with these the pros is so much fun. And every time I get a chance to learn something from one of them, it's unbelievable how much fun it is to play with them.
Now, marketing obviously is a very important part of any business, and you make it even more of a crucial part of your business. I know that you have fun with your commercials. I know that they're funny. You've put on some crazy and goofy outfits. First of all, what's the goofiest outfit you've ever worn?
Gosh, I would have to say, and you're gonna laugh at me, but it has to do with golf, is the Caddyshack commercial.
Yeah,
that I
remember
did.
That.
I don't know if you saw that.
I remember
one,
it.
But a lot of people thought I had a stroke when I was doing that commercial because I had to switch my mouth to the side.
Well, you're a big believer in marketing and advertising, aren't you?
Highly, very highly of radio and TV. More people recognize me by my voice than my face.
Well, you know, it's something that the reason why we're doing this today, you're probably the most recognizable guy in Tucson, and a lot of that has to do with your ads, but a lot of it would also mean that you'd have to be running a good business as well. So, I mean, you have the fun and kind of goofy part of the ads, but you've obviously been able to run a business.
Well, of course, I would have to tell you actually is that word of mouth is my best advertisement. You know, we run a good business. I take care of people. I give them my cell number. If there's a problem, I am going to definitely take care of it.
Well, it's now time. You've seen Faraday probably, right, on TV. It's now time for Rapid Fire Round, where I ask some related and unrelated questions, and you give me a quick answer. First off, rangefinder or do you walk off yardage?
Rangefinder.
You ever putt out of a bunker?
No.
What's easier to sell, refrigerators or washers?
Washers.
Cart or walk?
Cart.
Best costume you ever put on for a commercial?
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be a tough one. I would have to say the Yellow Brick Road. What is that movie?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Exactly. That was actually the funnest one I've done.
Worst costume you ever put on for a commercial?
I did one as Count Dracula on Sesame Street, and people were calling me saying, why am I making fun of Obama?
Oh, my God. Have you ever flipped a golf cart?
Never.
Best golf movie?
Caddyshack, definitely.
And best foursome you'd ever want to be involved in?
Tiger Woods, Jason Day, and Justin Thomas.
Well, that's a good one. And that's all the time we have for our first installment of Golfing with Chris Edwards. Thanks for being a good sport. Before we go, the most famous tagline in Tucson marketing history.
That's right. Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low prices are your priority.
Now back to the studio. And we are back.
Okay.
Are you jealous, Rick, that
Well, I want to know who won.
You know, he did. It was a close game. We're the exact same handicap, and he beat me by two shots.
Yeah, I've known Chris for many years, and he loves golf, and he does take it pretty serious, but he also has obviously a real fun side to him and his business. So,
well, we're going to try to do features like this probably once a month, and try to find people who try to merge their passion of golf and business and have a little fun with it. Well, coming up after the break, Rick's rule and tip of the day. And in addition, a little bit later, we're going to be giving away those four tickets to the Phoenix Open. We'll have more of the Golf Arizona Show right after this.
Now, more of the Golf Arizona Show, brought to you by the Views Golf Club, with hosts Mike Boyd and PGA professional Rick Price.
Welcome back, Golf Arizona Show. Mike Boyd here along with PGA professional Rick Price. And home now after spending a week on the road, learning more about becoming a PGA professional like he needs it. He's only been doing it now for 30 years, but he was at the big trade show in Orlando. But before we hear about the trade show, let's hear about Rick's rule and tip of the day. Rick, you're up.
Well, thank you, Mike. Yeah, let's start with the rule. We're going to make this one really short and sweet. Now, we're going to talk about the definition of what the general penalty means. So we got Seth with us here as well. So I'm going to throw Seth a little question on this one. What does that mean, general penalty?
I think, you know, if there's not a certain rule about it, it's just maybe the penalty that they give for if there's not a specific rule. That's my guess.
What about you, Mike?
You mean like dumping a golf cart or...
right, or something, you know, dumping a golf cart or slamming a club or something like that.
Gosh, I would say, yeah, something not covered by the rules, but something that looks bad.
So the real simple thing about what general penalty means is basically it's loss of hole for match play. So if you're in match play, that's just a general penalty.
Right.
And then for stroke play, it's two penalty strokes. So whenever anyone talks about what the general rule is for any particular rule, just remember in match play it's loss of hole, and in stroke play it's two-stroke penalty.
Got it.
All right. So let's talk about the tip today. We're going to talk a little bit about the grip, and really more so much about the grip pressure. Now, there's a variety of different ways of gripping it. We're going to talk as if everyone's right-handed, even though my wife's left-handed. She can kind of catch along with this. But so in regards to being right-handed, what kind of grip do you use, Seth? We'll start with you.
I use it just a traditional interlock, thumbs going down the center of the shaft.
All right. We'll talk about what that is different from a couple others. What about you, Mike?
I use the overlap grip. I don't do the interlock, and I have kind of a strong grip. And it's not the traditional Hogan grip where the V of your thumb and index finger go up your chest. Kind of goes way off to the right.
Now, the most popular grip is probably the overlap. Now, Jack Nicklaus, like Seth, they have something very in common. They use the interlock grip, which is basically taking your right pinky and interlocking it with your forefinger, your left hand. The overlap is just the opposite. You just put your pinky right on top. And that's pretty much the majority of what everyone uses. But the big key in the grip is in the grip pressure. Now, again, as a right-handed golfer, main grip pressure points in your left hand is the last two in your pinky and ring finger, with a little bit on your middle finger as well. Now, we're talking about the thumb a little bit as far as where it's at on the shaft. It'll be just left center of the shaft, so you can, when you look at it, you're going to see two knuckles. You know, you're going to see a variety of different grips. You know, there's some real strong grips out there like Dustin Johnson and that, where they basically see all four of their knuckles. But the traditional grip is you're going to see two knuckles when you look down. And then in your right hand, as you overlap, as most people do, the main grip pressure points is your ring finger and your middle finger with a little pressure on the top of your hand. So the key about the grip, though, is making sure that the pressure is equal between both hands and that they stay connected. And that is the whole key. You see a lot of swings where the grip pressure is a little off in either one hand or the other, or they get disconnected. So make sure your grip stays nice and connected and the pressure is fairly light, so you can relax your forearms and release the club through. So that's the tip of the day. Now let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned, I just got back from the PGA show. It's the big annual event where all the merchandisers, there's hundreds and hundreds of merchandisers there. It took me two full days just to get through from one end to the other to look at all the different new products and that. So.
And if history is anything, I'd imagine that the newest technology is the one that kind of gets the most interest at the show.
Yeah, it's amazing every year, every season, how technology just keeps changing the game, and there's a lot of things out there that really, from a teaching standpoint, is going to help a lot of students, learn how to be a better golfer. And one of the things that I was really interested in this year was checked out a lot of the different simulator type things. And they were doing a lot of promotions. They had a lot of the long drive participants there, men and women, you know, hitting in there and kind of showing off their product. And to see some of those people hit it as far as they do was pretty amazing. I was watching this one gal. I mean, she was consistently flying at 325 and kind of hurt my back every time I saw her hit it.
But, yeah, they have such an exaggerated backswing.
She wasn't that exaggerated, but she was just strong. But talking about exaggerated, I saw this one guy wasn't probably in the best shape that I've ever seen anyone in. And this guy took it back farther than John Daly, but generated so much clubhead speed. I mean, he was flying at 375, and it was just like, that's a whole different ball game there.
Yeah, in terms of technology, the one I saw on the Golf Channel was someone was marketing like a spandex long sleeve shirt with something like 180 diodes and data points inserted into the shirt that when you take a swing. It obviously, some type of computer nearby generates a report on all the different components of your swing, and it's supposed to be a helpful tool.
You know, they tried to get me to do that, and the
spandex isn't your thing.
You know, extra large petite, they just didn't have in stock there. So, but. There was a big thing in putting. I think this one company, I can't remember off the top of my head, they won some award in regards to new technology in regards to putting and talking about, you know, the laser and being able to see the line. And there was a lot of interesting products technology-wise. Now, the big thing was all the different manufacturers as far as all the new clubs coming out, because typically that's when they release their new club lines end of January.
Right, and then there's the putter controversy about the one that that John Smoltz uses that stands up by itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw actually. I met or knew the owner of one of those companies that did that. We talked to him for a few minutes, and a little pricey, like golf seems to be getting with some of the equipment. But it's pretty amazing how. You know, I kind of made a few strokes with it and set it down, and it was a good-looking putter. And actually, I've got my assistant at the club, Tim Lochner. He plays with this big old huge mallet putter type thing that does the same thing that was popular many, many years ago. So
yeah, I've seen those around. Well, coming up, we'll be let's give away some four free tickets to the Phoenix Open. The first caller who can answer how old Jack Nicklaus turned this week will get the tickets. The number, 719-1490, 719-1490. Sometimes after playing golf, I get sore. I either pinch a nerve from swinging too hard or tweak my back from hitting a bad lie. When that happens, I call Dr. Gary Mendez, D.C. Dr. Mendez is a golfer, so he gets it, and he's treated some of the top golfers in Tucson. Sometimes we overdo it or get injured while playing a sport or working out. The good news is the chiropractic is the perfect way to get back to your active levels and keep your body running smoothly. Do what I did and call Dr. Gary Mendez at 520-544-9696 or go to his website at momentumchiropractic.com. And if you're suffering from joint pain, Dr. Mendez has opened a stem cell therapy office. To learn more about this cutting-edge treatment and to see if you qualify for a complimentary consultation, call 742-3201.
Now, more of the Golf Arizona Show, brought to you by the Views Golf Club, with hosts Mike Boyd and PGA professional Rick Price.
And we're here at the Golf Arizona Show, Mike Boyd along with PGA professional Rick Price, and we are giving away free tickets to the Phoenix Open, which starts on Thursday morning. And the first caller who called is Richie. Richie, are you there?
I'm here.
First of all, no problem making it down there this week?
None at all.
All right. Okay, who's that? How old's Jack Nicklaus?
I'm going to guess 80.
Nice guess.
Nice guess is right. You got it. So you get the tickets, Richie. Have a great time at the tournament. And they'll be on Will Call. They'll be at Will Call. And make sure you leave your contact information with the screen caller. That'd be great.
All right. Great show, guys. Thank you.
All right. So long. Thanks for calling in. Rick, real quick, there's talk about a new tournament with just elite players. Does it have any hope? We'll talk about it more next week, but what do you think?
I hope not.
Yeah, I do too. I think this stuff comes up all the time.
And yeah, it's been talked about for many years, but I hope they don't go there.
Okay, well, that is it for the show this week. Everyone have a great week, and we'll see you all on the Golf Arizona show next week. So long.
This has been the Golf Arizona Show with hosts Mike Boyd
and PGA professional Rick Bryce.
Tune in next Saturday for more golf talk right here on the Golf Arizona Show.